listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
100 million crib, 3 million watch, all facts, no cap, false nigga. You not a boss, you got a boss. Niggas getting jerked, that shit hurts. I take it personally. Niggas rather work for the man than to work with me. Just so they can pretend they on my level, that shit irking to me. Pride always goeth before the fall, almost certainly. It's disturbing what I gross.
What I gross.
Survey says you're not even close.
You're not even close.
Everybody bosses till it's time to pay for the office. Till the invoices separate the men from the boys. Over here, we measure success by how many people successful next to you. Here we say you broke if everybody is broke except for you. Boss. Ain't nothing like it. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're live on a Saturday, ready to do some podcasting.
We are.
Yep. And my car is currently getting the brakes looked at. For those who follow me on Facebook, I had that weird light come back on. So
I know it was like, hey, I didn't go nowhere.
That light looks like you had to get in the crash. So I said, let me just go ahead and take it up.
It do, don't it?
Because I don't know what this means. But anyway, we get a call during the show, and I have to take it. It's not because this is the most ghetto podcast you've ever listened to, but it's because my car is in shop and it's on a Saturday and I really do want them to fix it or at least find out what's going on with it. So
come on.
Might have to take a call during the middle of the show. Just letting y'all know up front. You can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Go to theblackguywhotips.com. Leave comments, vote in the polls. You can, do stuff like, leave 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. This is the show where we read all those. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
at Bullet Ball Extreme. You can donate to the show on theblackouttips.com as well. And we want to shout out the people who took the time out to do that.
Yes.
Let's get to it.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new revenue, as they say in the hood. Let's check out who donated to the show today. Okay. Jonathan H. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Jeff M. Thank you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Corey B. Appreciate you, Corey. Core B, what they call Antoine, Mr. Span from the Span Report podcast. Thank you.
Yes.
Justin J, appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Nerds and Luxury, thank you so much. J4, thanks, homie.
Mm-hmm.
Early Days of Photography, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nicole F, thank you, Nicole. Coulter H, appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Marvin B, yes, Marvin B.
Yes, Marvin.
KM, thank you, K.
Yes.
Chriselle M, thank you. No relation.
I said, you sure that wasn't me, KM?
I'm sure. Candace H, Asia D. I want you to take credit for nobody's hard-earned donations. Solana S, thank you. Yvonne M, appreciate you.
Thank you.
Jason J, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Adam S, appreciate you. Katie G, we appreciate you, Katie G.
We do.
We got a donation from Annie P. Thank you, Annie. Tom W, thank you so much.
Yes.
Wrong folder. We appreciate you for putting this in the wrong folder. And then I just moved it to the wrong folder again. All right. Miss Hathaway, thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Hathaway.
Nicholas Z, thanks, Nick.
Yes.
Bomani Jones of High Noon on ESPN. Don't miss it. I watch it daily.
Mm-hmm.
Laura A.E., thank you so much. Rita Macy, I appreciate you.
Yes.
And now back to that one. And now it's in the right folder. And that's everybody. Thank you so much.
Like a shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still
I smile.
Come on.
Even though it hurts me, I smile.
Yeah, I feel that.
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still
I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile. Smile for me. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile. smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile out for me?
And my people say,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better in your,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better in your,
oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
And
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
And
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
Look in the mirror.
And you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
Always remember.
And you look so much better when you smile.
All right, let's get into the actual feedback for you guys.
Yes.
People left 5-star reviews on iTunes. Got 3 of them. Thanks.
3 of them.
Unleash says, hilarious. 5 stars. Y'all are crazy, and I am here for it. New listener here, and I'm so glad I found y'all. Well, we are so glad you found us.
We are.
Okay. ASAP Cass says, love 5 stars. I love this podcast. I just graduated from FAMU and have listened faithfully since I heard Rod go on a rant about supporting HBCUs. You will not be disappointed. Poignant and hilarious. Oh, thank you.
Poignant. Glad you graduated, baby. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to FAMU. HBCUs.
Come
now.
On.
Filling a Void, 5 stars by David McD, 831. I started listening last year as I remember hearing Rod from various TWIB shows. As a 45-year-old cis white male who started really waking up around 2013, I appreciate your takes. I feel like this is a spiritual successor to the TWIB prime, and I'm here for it. I like the levity interspersed. I can't read. Interspersed with unflinching takes on what's going on in the world. I laughed way too much at Karen's puns on episode 1721, Cancel Karen. Yeah, I mean, universally, we all are kind of ain't shit, you know? Like, I kind of have to, you know, I think we
nobody gets canceled. I keep telling y'all that. You can't cancel me, buddy.
I'm way out here in Cali. Otherwise, I pay to see your show live in NC. So thank you. And I become a premium subscriber and will buy merch. I appreciate your podcast. Thank you. I appreciate you getting that merch.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, we just put the live, logo on everything in the store.
Mm-hmm.
I still have plans for more stuff coming. Got some stuff in the work with TeePublic. The last shirt we did for them, sold pretty well, which was the, Thanos Was Right shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Fetty Carl shirt was another one they came up with.
Yes.
So, and as always, I always say, out there to listeners, if you're artists, if you know anything about designing, you know, shirts and logos and stuff, and you have an idea from something you hear on the podcast,
shoot your shot.
Email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. I mean, worst thing we could say is, nah, we don't want that logo, or nah, this isn't exactly what, you know, something for us. But you know, if we like it, we do pay for people's work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the going rate necessarily is out there, but we do pay. You know, make it valuable for your time. So at any rate, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. Thank you for the 5-star reviews, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into the episodes on the website. We got some comments on some of the episodes. We only did 4 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to align my chakras and you know, the way my chakras are set up, you know, I just can't be out here just doing shows all willy-nilly. I got to make sure I'm coming writing on time. So we had episode 1722, Return of the Ratchet Reading Hour, where we announced that we will be reading, and we have both started reading it.
Yeah, we
this bitch
reading.
Got Roaches in Her Crib by Quan Mills.
Yeah, and it's been interesting.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of problems in that house.
Yeah, it is.
I'm only on, I think I might still be in chapter 1 describing her. Nope, maybe I'm in chapter 2.
So you, yeah,
I think I'm in 1 or 2. One. And like, she killed some roaches already. There's a lot of child support issues going on. Several baby daddies are involved. It's a lot. Okay. Rhea writes in, yes, I will be reading the latest TBGWT book club Niggleature selection. One question though. Did we do the discussion of our last book club Niggleature selection? You got me fucked up. We did not. Karen reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on me. I don't know how I forgot to do that. Like, it seemed like we was gonna do it, and then I fucked up. I just got busy. I don't know. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, about to say, you want to, we could reread it.
Yeah, I still have all my Ratchet books. Maybe we'll make that one next. Yes. But let's start with, we'll start with this and work our way on.
Mm-hmm.
Tony says, okay, I had to go read the book summary. Fred Quisha Pierce, a native of the dangerous Inglewood, Chicago, could give two shits about the welfare of her daughter. Her mission in life is simple. Get money, smoke good weed, and ride bomb dick. Nothing more, nothing less. After meeting a potential new bae, Fred Quisha needs to make some lifestyle changes so she can upgrade her Section 8 squalor living situation. I'm here for the niggatry. I might even check out Crack Hole Dreams next, lol. I've heard good things about Crack Hole Dreams.
Me too.
Super Sailor Scorpio says, yes, you know I'm here for the Ratchet Reading Hour. So glad Quan Mills hit y'all up. I got the Kindle version of Bitch, This Bitch Got Roaches in Her Crib when it came out last Saturday. I've now gone through that Tanya episode 1 and 2.
Oh shit!
And the full standalone version of Gutter Ho Dreams. Now that book is a work of niggulatory art. God damn. that should be the next book in the Ratchet Reading Hour. I think my guess is I'm gonna try to switch up authors so we don't just find ourselves reading the same authors over and over.
Yeah, we'll rotate around. We'll come back to certain authors, but we'll rotate around.
Yeah, I cannot remember the book I was reading before this, and it wasn't You Got Me Fucked Up, but there's another book that's really good that I was reading. It might be In Love with a Dirty South Thug, but I can't down South Thug, but okay. I can't remember. But it was another like ooh. It's a page turner. It's a page turner. EVE says, I won one of the copies of This Bitch Got Roaches in Her Crib, and I started reading it already. It is a hot ass mess, and I laughed and laughed and laughed. I was thoroughly entertained. Can't wait for the book discussion. Yes. I need to read more Quan Mills at some point, but I feel like we are learning a lot about the author as much as we learn about the subjects of his book. The poll was, are you going to read This Bitch Got Roaches in Her Crib along with us? 66% said yes. 34% said no. Which is fine. I figure y'all will still want to hear us recap it.
Mm-hmm.
Melanade says, I'm all set to be a part of the book club. I tried to win the book code Saturday, but my typing is a little too slow, so I ordered it on my Kindle. The music trivia was really fun. Keep the fun coming, guys. We do. We will. The next episode was A Bit on the Nose. Woo, 9 comments. We discussed different types of apples. That was a huge hit with a lot of people. They enjoyed the apple tasting. I thought people didn't like it, from some of the comments we got on Twitter, but apparently, a lot of you guys go up for them apple, for us eating apples on the show.
Say it was a smash hit.
Yeah. Anne says, I enjoyed the apple tasting. Hearing you chew each variety of apple and critiquing it afterwards made my day. I'm glad you decided to expand your apple horizon by tasting the Fuji and Gala apples. Not that I'm trying to star anything, but Granny Smith apples are an acquired taste, just a fact. Oh, I agree. I mean, listen. Class, perfection, and quality are often refined taste. You know, everyone has eaten oodles of noodles. Everyone's tasted ramen pride, you know? So a lot of people are like, ooh, I like ramen. But then you take them to get an actual bowl of ramen with egg in it and you know, pork and all this different stuff. All of a sudden it's like, ooh, this is overwhelming. This is too much for my palate, my taste buds.
So good.
Can't handle the exquisite intensity of the real experience. And that's what the Granny Smith apple is. Is me taking y'all up from Ramen's Pride. And some, you know, it's sad to find out some people's taste buds are terrible and trash, but whatever, you know, I'm not, you know, I feel good for them too that they got the experience through us that we do fairly judge their apples. Greetings, Rod and Karen. It's from Falcons Diva. Last one's from Ann. Your apple tasting had me wanting an apple, but I was driving at the time. I love Gala apples, but I didn't originally chime in because I consider myself to be having unrefined palate. See, I appreciate you, you know, understanding.
Oh, I agree. I was like, apple is an apple to me, but apparently, mm-mm.
Granny Smith apples are too tart for me, but I don't begrudge anyone that loves them. I only eat crisp apples. If an apple is too soft, I throw that sucker away. I also like Fuji apples, but the Gala apples usually cost less. Yeah, them Fuji apples is good.
Mm-hmm.
Had that Japan plane ticket on or something. On weddings, my entire wedding cost less than $1,000. Including my dress. Wow. How did you do that?
I'm trying to tell you.
did you like go to Goodwill? Like, what was the secret?
I mean, everything was on sale, baby.
You need to like write a book.
You had hookups.
Write a book about that. Initially, I was planning to exchange vows in my pastor's office, but my friend insisted that she could throw me in an inexpensive ceremony. And she did just that. She decorated the gazebo in her cul-de-sac, made the flowers, helped me pick out my $99 dress in lieu of gifts. I invited guests to join us for dinner at their expense. Ha! Smart. The honeymoon was where the money was spent. Keep in mind, I was almost 40 when I got married, so we didn't need any gifts to help us get started with our lives together. The plan was to have a big event to celebrate our 10th anniversary on my 50th birthday, but alas, the marriage didn't make it that far. I'm still planning to have a big blowout for my 50th, though. Finally, I listened to that latest slut story multiple times. Rod's accent had me cracking up. Sully, my good vagine. LOL. That woman was out of it, though. Pig's blood?
Come on.
Where do you even find that? Heavyweight says, I'm loving this Nat Geo Wild segment. Growing up an animal nerd, this was fun. The craziest thing about the tarantula hawk is that they don't kill the tarantula at first. They sting it to paralysis, carry it back to the nest, plant eggs in it, and eventually the hatch larvae eat their way out of the still living spider.
Oh!
Yes. And also, against all instinct, if you are bitten by a venomous snake, do not run. The increase in blood pressure only serves to carry the venom to your organs faster. Try to stay as calm as possible and walk to get help. Mm-mm-mm. That's scary. Nature, you scared. I still do not know.
That's why I say stay my ass out of nature as much as I can.
See, this is a controversial thing to say, kind of. But it's because black people are too sensitive about BET. But do y'all know how much fucking money will be made off of just black people watching nature documentaries and commenting, like on some Mystery Science Theater shit?
Oh, there'll be flames.
Like, y'all understand how fucking easy a show that is to make?
Yes.
It's a $1 million idea. Niggas are scared of everything, and we are funny as fuck.
And we will voice it.
Like it'd be like watching a horror movie, like, you know, the antelope going to get something out the river, the sip, and we like, no, nigga, don't, oh, boy, you better watch out the crack now, here he come, oh, he got his ass, like, that shit would be fucking brilliant, if niggas weren't so sensitive about the white gaze and the respectability
right.
politics of it all, like, if we really knew that it was just something that black people were gonna enjoy, and nobody else was gonna fuck around with it, and it wouldn't become like some shit where white people was wearing it on a t-shirt and making fun of us, black people would love the fuck out of that show. But the duality of being black in America is too strong, and I know it would just lead to some black people being like, why I never pump, you know, but god, that's a $1 million idea. Can you just see, like, then, like, you have the white person there describing the tarantula hawk, and then the video of what the tarantula hawk does, and just black people being like, oh shit, oh hell no, stuff like that. So good. Anyway, I hate racism.
Come on.
Like, we could have so many nice fun things if it wasn't for racism, but another thing robbed of us, because we can't even put that on like BET or YouTube channel without somebody being like, you niggers, god, I hate other black people like you bringing the race down. What was I got to say?
I hate slavery.
Brooklyn Shoebae says, me listening but not paying attention. Are these niggas eating on the mic? Damn, they are tacky. Wait, all that chewing making me hungry. Are they doing an Apple taste test on the air? Wow, these motherfuckers right here. I wish I had an Apple. Great episode. You talk to realists. They come to us.
That must have been the range of emotions.
Yeah, they come to us because we are real. You know what I'm saying? Like, we the realest. That's why they fuck with us.
Come on.
CT says, let me tell y'all something. I've been in the process of moving for a few weeks now. I originally heard the Apple debate a few weeks ago, but I just haven't had time to respond to the website. But I'm back, and this debate needs to be settled once and for all. Granny Smith apples are the best apples for cooking. They are firm enough to keep their shape and not be extremely mushy while cooking. They are tart enough to cut through the sweetness of brown and white sugar. They are good for drinks and desserts. And as Rod has stated time and time again, the key to apple flavored products. But to simply consume on a day-to-day basis, they are too sour and acidic to eat regularly. Listen, I feel you, CT. For some of y'all Negroes with y'all weak taste buds that can't handle it, I feel you. You know, like, I don't want to to diminish and dismiss my weaker palated brothers and sisters out here. Not all of y'all are strong enough to handle a real apple, okay? Just like not everybody's strong enough to handle a real woman. Some people need to settle for what they can get. And if all you can get is Red Delicious and Honey Crisp and shit, good for you. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why this became such a harsh thing that, I mean, Kelly Rowland is fine as fuck. Do you understand? Kelly Rowland is, I was just looking at pictures of Kelly Rowland the other day, like, goddamn, a vision. But is she Beyonce? Of course not. And that's okay. The world need Kelly Rowlands too. And y'all can enjoy all your Kelly Rowland apples. I enjoy them as well. I'm sorry, Rod. Granny Smith apples cannot be replaced in the world, but regular consumption goes to Honeycrisp or Pink Lady, depending on personal preference. Well, why can't Granny Smith be a personal preference? Right, exactly, because you know that it's the greatest, and if you put it in the rotation, I'll never go back. The Wawa story made me sad. I was spending my last $5 at Wawa. I hope this was a one-time incident. I won't protest Wawa. They have been pivotal in my move. Cheap sandwiches and snacks, quick service, just the best damn gas station and quick food service around. Let me tell you something.
They ain't made their way down here yet.
I shall continue to focot these niggas. I will never, ever step foot up in a Wawa as long as I can help it, because ain't none in my vicinity.
And probably not one in the state of North Carolina.
The rest of you niggas should be ashamed of yourselves. Ashamed going to Wawa, buying gas from them. Disgust me. This is why we can't have nothing as a people.
Your fake outrage over here.
Your fake outrage, black Twitter, fake activists talking about, I still gotta go to Wawa. Well, I don't. I'm gonna enjoy my Chick-fil-A sandwich with my Papa John's
pizza, right?
And I'm gonna eat that, and I'm gonna be upset with you niggas. Can't have nothing. Turk says, hi guys, I really appreciate the apple taste test. I usually only eat Red Delicious and Pink Lady apples. Now due to your test, I'll also try Fuji or maybe more. Peace, Turk.
Please do. I didn't know it was so many different apples.
I just wanted to open up the world to try different apples, to be honest, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I do need to go back for a second about something you said on a serious tip. I don't really understand the point of boycotting over one incident like a lot of people do. And I'm not saying this to diss the boycotters. Do what you do. If you can't think of a place without getting upset, I understand why you wouldn't step a fucking foot in there, for the record.
Come on.
I'm not knocking it, but I will say I don't relate to it, and I think that's fine for me to say. If I look on TV and they're like, this McDonald's was racist, I don't start thinking to myself like, I'll never eat McDonald's, because I think it might make us feel better. It gives us something to do, something to say. But is all McDonald's racist because that one McDonald's? Are all Starbucks racist because that one Starbucks? Are, you know, I don't think so. You know, like, it's not like they have a systemic history of racism. That's different. Or maybe if you have many incidents, or there's a company policy or something, maybe then I start thinking about like, oh, I don't think I want to be around this. Like, you know, if there's someone prominent attached to it, you know. But to be honest, I would understand motherfuckers that still eat Papa John's. I don't give a fuck. Cause like, that nigga was racist. He gone. Like, what the fuck else are they supposed to do?
Yeah, now Papa John's suing Papa John's.
Yeah, like, what the fuck else? Like, that's what people think is supposed to happen when somebody does some bullshit, is they lose their job. But I think we're so angry and we get emotional about it, both understandably, both justifiably and validly angry, but then we then want something to do about it. But if we're being honest, or if I'm being honest, they did the thing that everybody wanted them to do already, right? Like hey, this motherfucker is racist, get rid of him. Okay, he gone. I never eat your pizza to the day I die, bitch. It's like, oh wait, this is different. This is not really about appeasement or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, I asked people what would it take to get them to eat Papa John's as a joke on my Facebook. Like, what if they said it was like buy one get two free or something like that. Like, like how committed are you to not fucking with Papa John's? Like, if they said 99-cent pizza day, are you still gonna be like, nah, fuck that shit? But you know, some people was in the thread being like, well, if they would give money to a charity or if they would do this or do that, and I'm like, I guess, but that's a shortcut that we all say. Do we follow through on those?
No.
When these companies,
even if they're doing that shit, if they're not public about it, they actually might be doing it. You just don't know.
Even when they are public about it, we're like, you're just doing that for PR. You don't believe it.
Right. It's a lose-lose because you're going to say it's not enough.
Nobody want to tell the truth, and I'm here to tell the fucking truth. A lot of people just ain't going to forgive, and they not going to let it go. And that's just a loss they're going to have to learn to live with if those people were even fucking with you in the first place.
Correct. Which,
like a lot of boycotts, quote unquote, on the internet, there a lot of those boycotts are faux-cotts because you weren't fucking with them. Like, you
come on,
how many people did I see go, their pizza was shitty and I never ordered from them, but fuck them, I never get no pizza. I'm like, oh well, they didn't lose nothing,
right,
technically,
right? They didn't have your money, no way.
Yeah, like I'm still,
but like for me it's completely different, and I don't even know if mine is like a boycott. Mine is like fuck that nigga, so we ain't buying a pizza no more, but we actually bought the pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not saying you're a fake boycott, and I know you're not, but like I said, they fired the dude. What else was they supposed to do? What else do you want from them? Like, what would make you buy Papa John's again, Karen?
That I don't know.
Exactly. It's an emotional thing.
I mean, I'm just keeping it real. Now that I don't know, now I'm like, fuck that nigga. Every time I think about Papa John's, I'm like, I don't want to have a personal debate about the bullshit he said. So, like, okay, I'm good.
Like, somebody said hire a black CEO, but I'm like, ABC did that with, I mean, it's still a black CEO on that company that, you know, you disagree with, but I think they would have to probably change the name. Like, if they don't just go out of business, they probably have to change the name to something else, and then people might be okay with it. Bo made a joke, they should replace it with John Witherspoon, Lil John, like maybe something like that, but I don't know. I by the way, I guess we'll know when we see it if people ever change their mind.
And what would their theme be? Pizza, okay.
Right.
I buy that shit.
Yeah. I mean, but will Lil Jon even work with them? I feel like a lot of black celebrities are like, man, I'm okay. Yeah, good luck to y'all. Good luck to everyone.
Yeah, they're looking at beautiful gowns.
Trapping as a Hobby says, you guys inspired me to try some new types of apples. I picked up Fuji, a Pink Lady apple. I think Pink Lady was actually Granny Smith back in her hoeing days. Yeah, once Granny Smith got, you know, once she started chilling.
Oh, she's turning to Granny Smith.
She used to be the Pink Lady, and then she was like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and put,
I'm retiring.
Go ahead and get my hip replacement surgery and chill out.
I'm putting my clear heels and getting off the pole.
That apple was like a less than perfect Granny Smith with potential. It's the apple Granny Smith made before she really knew what she was doing. It's now my second fade. Yeah, I did get a lot of other fades from trying these apples.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in the store, I would no longer look at these apples in disgust the way I used to before trying them. And that was on me. I prejudged those apples, and I was racist against those apples, and I'm sorry. Really Dark Knight says, I'm convinced that this rash of white folks threatening to call police on people of color must be some kind of contest to go see their president. Also, for some reason, these people don't think Black Twitter CSA has found all of them. I don't care about them crying on the Summer Jam screen either. Cry your ass right to the unemployment line.
Yeah. And they'll be fine. They'll find other jobs.
Yeah, my empathy got limits, and that's one of them. Like you do some racist shit to a black person, I don't care that your life got fucked up or you lost a job. I'm sorry. I'm actually not even sorry. Fuck it. Like, I'm supposed to care about everybody now, like the Nazis and shit too. Like, I don't know, Dan. Y'all keep that one. There's way more white people that actually seem to give a fuck about that shit that I don't.
And that, you're right.
Y'all have enough support. Secure Pin Dragon says, thanks for the taste test. Though my heart knew the truth, it was great to hear such positive feedback on the Pink Lady apples. You guys are the best. Thank you. The poll was, did you feel bad for the black Republicans that got kicked out of that Uber? Wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Mm-mm.
Yes or no? Karen says no.
No. Mm-mm.
What percentage of the audience do you think agrees with you?
About 99.9%.
You're close. 97% agrees with you. Which means 3% feel bad for those people that got kicked out the Uber for wearing Make America Great Again hats. Scott Jefferson says, thanks so much for your scientific fair and balanced on the air taste testing of apples. I salute Rod and Karen for tackling this debate in a sensitive manner. As a Honeycrisp lover, I was prepared for the slander which never came. I'm sorry to have underestimated your ability to judge fairly. Now, Honeycrisp was good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shit might be number two. Pink Lady was good.
I like the Lady of the Pink.
Like, I mean, all them apples is good except for the mushy kind.
I don't like the mushy
kind. I'm not 100% on those if those were mushy because some of them were organic and I got to take that into effect.
Consideration.
So some of them were organic and I think some of the organic ones might have been mushy in a way that the other ones wouldn't have been.
Correct.
Anyway, Brooklyn Shoebay says, you wear a MAGA hat, prepare for the consequences. As the t-shirt says, don't let your president get your ass kicked. Despite everything, I appreciate how folks are not being accepting or understanding. We are staying angry and revolting in every small way we can.
Come on, that's the Make America Great Again hat might as well be a Klan's hood. That's how it represents to me. Mm-hmm. Or a rebel flag. That it means the same motherfucking thing to me.
It's not a fashion statement.
No, I don't care if it's on the nigga's head or not. It still means you just hate yourself.
Really Dark Knight says, I really, really, really hope that Uber driver was a white dude that told those coons, Black Republican brothers and sisters, they could step their tire fuck off. Regardless, that Uber driver's an icon.
Come on.
Yeah, I actually hope it wasn't a black person that kicked them out.
No, shit.
I mean, I hope it wasn't a white person that kicked them out, because then they can be like, it was racism. I kind of wanted to be another black person or like an immigrant to the country that's like, no. The fuck are you doing? Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. And it's not racism, because I'm going to go pick up some other black people right now that are not coons. Evie just says, fuck those coons. So, that is...
straight to the point.
That is the motto. Episode 1724 was Return to the Anthill. 11 comments. Ooh, Jesus.
They had a lot to say about them tracker alignments.
Justin W. says, so lateness is a mechanism of white supremacy? I knew it. You are right, Rod. I've been late to everything my whole life and been thinking about it's my problem, but it's the man this whole time shaking my head. Exactly. Thank you. I'm just trying to enlighten my fellow brothers and sisters. Okay? Don't fall into the chronology industrial privatization complex. They make you think you're a product that everywhere you just supposed to show up because you said you were going to be somewhere on time. Well, time is relative. You know what I would like? The 400 years of time that you oppressed and put my brothers and sisters in chains. So if I need a little siesta before I can do my thing on the stage to get my chakras lined up, then you just going to need to sit and wait. And my fellow brothers and sisters should be able to understand at the concert if I can't make it. Okay? You take a Scrabble board, set it up, and y'all educate yourselves by playing some of the games. That's all I'm trying to do.
Play Taboo.
Play some Taboo. Meet a neighbor. Start a podcast. That's how the Reed got started. A Lauryn Hill concert. Crystals and Kid Fury were there. They were late. Lauryn Hill was a little late to get her chakras aligned. They start chit chatting. Next thing you know, boom. Big ass podcast started. So many people's lives enriched because Lauryn Hill did that. You're welcome. Janica says, I like the apple tasting on the show. Somehow I grew to develop an allergy to apples and I missed them dearly. Thanks for enjoying them for me.
Oh, sorry to hear that, baby.
Man, what a weird allergy. That sucks.
I figured out you can be allergic to just about anything nowadays.
Really, anything?
Just about. People allergic to eggs, coconut, you name it, nuts, milk.
I wonder if anybody's allergic to, like, pussy.
That I don't know.
You know?
Who knows? People might be allergic to semen. I don't know.
Well, I've heard of the semen one before. I knew a woman whose husband's semen made her sick. It was on that sex documentary series I watched
right.
on Netflix.
Okay, and she was,
and
right.
They waited to have sex until after they was married, and then that sperm
just started getting
made her
sick.
Yeah, so... But, I mean, does anybody have a pussy? Oh, Michelle said DJ Khaled.
Oh, poor thing.
Oh, no, his wife, poor thing. Like, he's real men don't eat pussy. Yay F says, oh my God, I'm at work trying so hard not to bust out laughing at Rod's R. Kelly impression. I can't believe people still go up for him and listen to that song. He needs to go to jail already. right? The worst. Libraries, this is from Charles. He says, libraries, a floor people shouldn't fall below. Public education. You sound like a democratic socialist, right? LOL. Hey man, look, I told y'all niggas, I don't have no alliance to none of these labels politically. I don't give a fuck. And I'm by extension, not to be too harsh, cause I know there's some black people that really dedicated themselves to the Democratic Party. Most of them niggas don't care either. We just don't want to die. It's a really simple thing for us.
Come on.
I'm tired of motherfuckers trying to put us in the label they put with white people on the whole, like, y'all neoliberal. So, no the fuck we aren't. We're not neoliberal, whatever the fuck capitalist. No the fuck niggas are not. The general nigga is just trying not to die. And these white people are slightly less dangerous than the other white people.
Right. Not as many of us gonna die over here. Okay.
Yeah, we are not on they dick like they the fucking solution to everything. That is not, I hate that caricature. I blame a lot of that shit on the internet, a lot of that shit on lazy rhetoric, and a lot of that shit on just like social media. Cause it's not real. You talk to people in real life, they don't talk like that to each other. And if you know somebody that's a democratic socialist or just a socialist or whatever the fuck, a radical, they not running up on niggas like that, just in general. Like, ha, you fucking on the plantation, ape monkeys. You're like, what? Wow, you sound just like the white people. That's not how people only talk like that shit on social media. Well, you can flex that academic degree and be better than niggas.
Yeah,
but the vast majority of motherfuckers do not talk like that.
Right, and don't care about your degree.
Right, like, I get that, you know, there's all kinds of black people, but yeah, I don't care if you call me whatever the fuck you want, just, you know, don't put my name as a hashtag because these motherfuckers killed me because y'all motherfuckers didn't care, you know?
Right.
D Ramsey PH Dunn says, listening to yesterday's apple eating, thank you for doing all things for the culture. Hashtag Team Fuji, hashtag Team Gala. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rich says, you should rename this apple to Return to the Onk Hill. Get it? Onk Hill. Sorry, that was corny. Love the show. GWG says, I'm here for all the snacking on air. We'll try not to do it too often because I understand it's annoying to some people in bad form, but it also is our show, so we can do what the fuck we want, you know? Some people's like, make it a segment. I was like, I can't think of a thing to eat every week. Although some of my favorite shows, we don't do them anymore because it's been so long since they sponsored the show, but some of my favorite shows are the ones where we would go buy wine, cheese, crackers.
Mm-hmm.
We would actually get the wine from Triangle Wine Co, and we would like eat on the air
and just cover white people news
and cover white people news. Those are some of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
Classic R&B lover says, hi Rod and Karen, the Lauryn Hill stuff had me dying on Twitter, and then the cast. Just when I thought it couldn't get any funnier, Miss Hill's Charlotte show was canceled. At this point, like, all these people complained about Lauryn Hill's timeliness and performances to those people who used to complain about Naomi Campbell assaulting them with phones when they went and worked for her. At some point, you can't keep complaining when you knew what you signed up for. Oh yeah, F.R. Kelly. Falcons Diva says, well damn, just when I thought you were Team Gala, you come with some mess. You must have picked a bad Gala apple. The only time I had a Gala apple that was not crisp is when I messed around and bought an organic one. I guess those pesticides are good for me. I think it was organic though, so maybe that's what the problem was. The one that was kind of mushy.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been it. I don't know. Dia says poor, and we didn't get them from the same place. We went to Publix the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Dia says, poor people are hated by everyone, regardless of race. If you are poor, a great segment of the United States population hates you. The library idea, coupled with the idea a few months ago of having a food delivery, blue apron style box that for those that receive government assistance, is just another way to keep poor people away from everybody else.
Right.
There was a period in my life when I was a child that my mother received food stamps, and going to the grocery store was the one thing that made my sisters and I feel normal. We could not afford designer clothes, games, or cable TV, but we at least got to go to the grocery store and had the same cereal, snacks, and bologna sandwiches as other kids.
Mm-hmm.
We also went to the library on weekends and checked out books, videos, and got to read newspapers from all over the world. We got to do homework, sit in air conditioning, drink from the coldest of cold water fountains, right. Do crafts, read magazines that showed us how we wanted to dress, wear our hair, and recipes. And the librarians were so nice to us. Again, it made us feel like we were normal kids with an idea of what we could become. take away the library and give food stamp recipients a monthly food box. And guess what? We don't have to see the poor members of our society. They won't be in the library. They won't be at the grocery stores. They can stay out of everyone else's way so we can ignore their needs and existence.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, the other part too is, because the first sentence you said, poor people are hated by everyone regardless of race. See, the trick of it is, they have conflated race and class in America so hard that we'll never get the stigma of when people see black people, they think poor.
Yeah, there's a lot of poor other people too.
And when people think poor, they think black people.
Yeah, it's poor white people. It's more poor white people. Statistically, it's more poor white people than any other group. But you let people tell it, they all brown.
But that's why racism is successful. That's why classism is successful. It's because those two concepts are intertwined. That's why nobody coming at poverty or coming at racism that does not combine both ideas is worth discussing. It's why a lot of Bernie Sanders type socialists are not worth a goddamn, because they keep talking about identity politics and it's a class issue more than a race issue and black kids are just standing on the corner because they can't get jobs and shit. It's that type of approach that damns everybody.
Right.
If you won't combine both, I can't treat you seriously. You know, and as of yet, you know, the people at the spotlight of democratic socialism have been those people. Now, there are people who approach it intersectionally and whatnot. They just need to do more to get a spotlight, and they'll probably have a fight of their own within that socialist structure to be the voices that should be heard, because their voices are more important, in my opinion, and more accurate to what the world is going through. EBE says, I love listening to the taste test. I'm one of those nuts who finds those AMSR videos soothing. What's AMSR?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to the Google machine I go. AMSR. So like, autonomous sensory meridian response. Okay, so it's like a static or tingling sensation that you get from listening to certain sounds. I guess like us eating apples.
Okay.
All right. I love watching Pickle Lady's videos. I guess she eats pickles. I hope you do more taste tests. We might. We'll see. If it comes up again. I didn't know this. None of this was planned.
Until, it really wasn't.
Until
it was
the
like
petty took hold of me. And once that happened, I had no control over it. It was nothing I could do, y'all. And I'm almost sorry that I did it, but not really. The poll is, are people being too hard on Lauryn Hill? Yes, definitely, or for sure. Yes, 35% of y'all said people are being too hard on Lauryn Hill. 21% of y'all said definitely people are being too hard on Lauryn Hill. And 44% of y'all said for sure people are being too hard on Lauryn Hill. We got no comments because I'm assuming we all understand and agree that it's unfair what people are doing to Lauryn, okay? And we just want Miss Hill to be the best she can be.
The best she can be.
And have a good time. Oh, hold on. This might be the car people. Let me pause this recording. Y'all like. All right, that was just a white man hitting my pockets up real quick. Let me know that the rent is high, you know. All right, let's get into the last one, which was Be Useful, last episode of the week. And we had three comments, or actually four comments. We just had one come in during the show. But we talked about, this was kind of a random episode. We talked about my random thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Lauryn Hill's concert getting canceled in Charlotte. People were very, like, thought I would be upset by that. I was not. News flash. I told y'all how I would feel. Y'all thought I was going to be a hypocrite, didn't you? Wrong. And then, of course, we also talked about just relationships and stuff, too, which is cool. And men's roles in relationships and the value of men and why women might wait longer to date a man, seriously, because the slow rate at which men mature. It's a little slower than U.S. savings bonds, guys.
Come on.
Dust Daughter says, hello, Karen and Rod. I'm gonna keep this short for once. Thank you for saying that black women's anger is valid. I've been afraid of my anger for so long. It was good to hear someone say this. Love y'all. Love the show, Dee Dee. Yeah, I mean, it's just sad that it's so few people will validate it. because Lord knows as a man, people validate us when we be dead to fuck wrong.
Come on.
It don't even matter. Like, men hit women and there's still people that defend or find a way to be like, well, she shouldn't have said, or mm-hmm. I mean, you knew he was a man, you gonna step to it. Like, mm-hmm. men are always valid in their anger. Shit, people still try to understand spree shooters.
Yes, they do.
Motherfucker shit up a whole job because this woman left him or some shit, and because he was already probably dangerous. And then people be like, well, don't we need to examine these people? Like, why did they do this and shit like that? I'm like, what? We don't do that with women at all. D. Ramsey PH Dunn says, for the 40-minute mark to the hour 20-minute mark, 5 stars. Great comments, thoughts, suggestions, etc. on how we need to move forward. I'm at a point in my life where if I do not get married, I would be okay with that.
Yeah, that's a lot of people that get older and they're fine and they're content with not being married. The American dream is to quote unquote get married, have children, you know, for straight people. But even with gay, you know, gay people and people in the LGBTQ, you know, a lot of it is to get married and adopt children if you can't physically have children. And that's not everybody's dream. Everybody don't want to procreate. Everybody don't want to get married. Some people just want to just live their lives out to the end of days. They don't want to be tied down to nobody. They don't want to commit to nobody. And you have the right to do that.
Yeah. And honestly, man, like, as much as I love, and I do love, and I love it for everybody in all its shapes and forms. I don't care how you find it, what, mm-mm. you know, I think we have fetishized and romanticized love to a degree that's, I think, is unhealthy.
Agreed.
Because love comes in a lot of different forms, and because most of us have been taught to look as romantic love as a separate entity about star-crossed lovers and fates and all this other shit, and it's not that none of that can happen, but it's kind of ruined a lot of value that people should have in everyday shit, because it's like, I don't have this specific type of romantic love, therefore my value is less. And then we do it to other people. Like, we look at people and go, you're single, trash, you know, like you ain't got a man, you ain't got a, you know, like, you, what's your value to people? We specifically use it against women, but we use it against kind of everybody that's single a little bit, and then but mostly against women, straight cishet women mostly, and then, you know, all the other shit, the body judgments, the when you gonna have some kids shit and all this stuff. But because of that, I feel like there's so much love in the world that just goes unappreciated, like the love of friends, love of family, you know, like even the love that's not necessarily romantic in the way of we're gonna get married and have some kids, but just like enjoying somebody for a period of time, maybe this long distance, or maybe they're only gonna be here for such and such amount of time and then they're gonna be gone. It's like if everything that's not leading towards like a fucking ring and an altar is like this unvalued, you
correct.
Know
correct.
And I think that programming has fucked us up so bad, but and it makes people doubt themselves and feel disappointed in themselves on something that's almost random, you know,
right?
And then I'm reminded of this show Dietland, what I'm watching, which I fucking love this show. I don't know why I love this show. It is the whitest white feminism of all time. I fucking love this show, y'all can't stop watching. Anyway, like, I just watch it. I don't even tweet about it normally. I just be watch. Anyway,
this is getting rave reviews.
People, okay, so people are watching it.
Yes, they are.
I think only white people mm-hmm. watching it. It's just mm-hmm. me and some white people.
Okay, it's niggas watching it too.
I don't see no black people talking about this fucking show, and I'll be watching it anyway. The point being, Plum on the show was talking about this art exhibit. I may have mentioned this on the show before, but it was pornographic art. It was like the top 100 porn videos on the world playing at any point in time, playing on loop in this room. So anytime you could walk into this room, and it was just every porn video in the world that was in the top 100 that people were watching.
Okay.
Over and over. And she sat there and she watched it, and Plum is very upset about her weight. She puts a lot of value in finding a man and the romantic industrial complex and to make women feel bad about their image complex and all this shit. And you know, she's been trying to, like, she wanted to get this gastric bypass surgery. She's been convincing herself that, you know, I have a skinny woman inside of her, me, and I'm gonna get to that skinny woman, and then my life's gonna be better and things will change. And she's watching this, the video, and it just snapped in her that she realized what, that she was making herself into better prey for men to, these men in these videos, these women in the videos all look like the woman she thought she had inside of her that she wants to be. And the women in the videos are getting like fucking choked and slapped and nothing wrong with it. It's consensual and that's what you're into.
Correct.
But in her mind, she's like, these men don't care about these women. They look at them like objects to be consumed and to be fucking abused, and they don't, you know. And she's like, why am I turning myself into better prey? You know, why am I trying to become the best looking rabbit? But that's what we've taught people that love is. It's like a competition where you need to like make yourself the most attractive for women mostly, but the most attractive prey for people to pursue, which kind of almost devalues you or says you have no value until you are pursued by this prey, you know, by this predator. In many cases, the predator being cishead men, but not, you know, this depends on your romantic entanglements. But the point being, like, that was sound to me, I was like, that sounds some deep shit, you know. And it's sad that people feel like, oh, I'm this age and I haven't found a man. Am I a bad person? Yeah. Like, am I not worthy of love and shit? And it's like, I love love, but I hate what it's done to people.
Correct. And the thing about love is that love comes in all ways, shapes, size, forms, colors, like just pure, unadulterated, unfiltered love. And the thing is, sometimes people have an idea of what they think love is in their minds, and then when something presents itself and it actually does love them unconditionally and it meets all the criteria that they quote unquote claim that they want, a lot of times they will reject it because it doesn't look or appear the way that they thought it should appear or look. And then that love just disappears because love doesn't want to be abused, so it only loves itself. It disappears, and then they're stuck in this loop when a lot of times you have to also allow people to love you, not abuse you, but allow people to love you. And so many people have been hurt, men and women and everybody, so they have these walls up, and it's very hard to break those walls, and it's very hard to get through to people to get them, you know, to understand that when it comes to love, you literally have got to be open to love presenting itself in various ways.
Well, also like D. Ramsey Ph. Nun said in her thing, she's like, I'm at a point in my life where if I do not get married, I will be okay with that.
Right.
But that's like, it's messed up that we have put that on people. Mm-hmm. To make you have to fight to be like, I'm okay. If this doesn't happen, I'm still okay. Like, it's not like I wasted my life or this journey was
not valuable
as it should have been. Like, it's okay. Like, I'm very lucky to be with Karen and to be in love with somebody and to keep that going for all this time. I'm very lucky and fortunate, and I feel that way, but I don't think it's, I hate that if I wasn't, then I might be feeling like I'm not as good or valuable because I did not find this person. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's such a fucked up thing to have installed in people, and we do it from the time people are kids. And
yes, you do.
Teach people, you need to get married, you need to find one person, you need to be on the altar, you need to be having children and getting a home, and you need to follow the 7 different steps that we told you to take, or else your life ain't shit. And it's such a bad way to look at life.
Correct. And it also puts a lot of people, particularly women, and also puts them in a place where they become very angry at society, mm-hmm. for putting these pressures on them. And then people wonder why they say stuff to women and a woman snaps. Like, she's just nasty and just mean to them. And it's because you are the 500th person that's asked me, am I going to have a child? You are the 500th person that asked me, so I don't want to hear it no more. So it's like every time somebody says something, it's very triggering. And people do not understand that, like, society, you know, I don't know what the age is, but once you cross quote unquote marrying age, whatever that age is, after you finish high school or college or whatever it is, that are you going to get married, particularly for straight women, and are you going to have children? You're constantly asked that. Constantly asked that. And then if you're not dating, people think something's wrong with you. Sometimes you might just want to be fucking alone. You don't want to be bothered with anybody. You don't want anybody on your life. And then, you know, then people begin to question your sexuality, you know, and it's like, okay, I am what I am, whatever it is. Does it really matter? You know?
Also, if you're happy by yourself, people act like something's wrong with you.
Correct.
Like, you're not supposed to be happy. What the fuck's wrong with you? Oh, you're happy and you're that size? What does that mean? You're happy and you don't got a man? What does that mean? You're happy and you don't have children? What does that mean? Like, why isn't your value attached to this love complex and industry that we have built? Like,
right.
Why you ain't got, and it's not, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with wanting that shit.
Nope.
It's nothing. Like, this is not an admonishment of folks who are like, I want to be in love. I want to find somebody out. Like, that's absolutely fine, but it says something that the want of that has destroyed people and their value in themselves, or made them have to fight to be like, but if it don't happen, I'm gonna be okay. It's just something about our society is poisonous when we have to look at it that way.
Correct.
Evie says, anyone who buys a Lauryn Hill ticket has no one to blame but themselves at this point. And yes, I'm victim blaming. A fool and his money are soon parted. I mean, that's the thing I was saying to the people. I went and found some people that were upset that she canceled the show. And I was like, well, what about self-care? Y'all don't care that she need to take care of herself. Y'all love her so much, but y'all mad that she gave you your money back. So what you mad about?
Yeah, she gave
your
money back.
Take your money back and let her rest. Let her catch up. You know, when you have a headache, you don't like going to work. And when you do show at work, your attitude be stank and the work don't be as good. Like, stay your ass home and drink some water and lay on your couch. I don't need your stank ass up at work acting the fool because your chakras came in all cattywampus. As for Azalea Stanks, she clearly has no people. At this point, she's a professional hater because no one I know listens to her music. Someone on Twitter tried to tell me, like, and I feel like she dropped the best album of 2018. I said, nigga, if you think anyone listening to that but you and her on fucking SoundCloud, you can get the fuck out of my face. Get out of here. I'm sorry. I'm sure there are some, you know how fucking good her, she would have to have dropped fucking Love Is Everything. Like, you understand how good she would have to drop self-titled Beyonce album before any of us is like, I know she crazy, but you know, that's the only way. And the problem with her is she never really got all the way on before she started acting up. So it's not even like a fair, like, people try to do the, we cancel women artists, but not men. I'm like, we cancel some men if they just now getting on. It's hard, like, it's harder to cancel Chris Brown because Chris Brown was somebody when he started acting a motherfucking fool.
Correct.
You know, like, so even with my disdain for Chris Brown, I understood that with his, the nobody gets canceled for him is gonna be bigger than Azalea Banks. If Azalea Banks would have had a couple number one hits and a bomb ass like album before she started acting a motherfucking fool, she still, listen, if Azalea Banks had Brandy's career and then start acting crazy, we'd be like, yeah, but it's Brandy. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, well, I'm supposed to go back and not listen to them albums? You know what I'm saying? That's how people would treat it. So, yeah, although I do admit, you know, obviously disposability of women artists is a lot, you know, a lot more, but
it is.
The idea of, like, specifically her, these people getting canceled, like, Azalea Banks still around, still got a record deal, and still making music. It's
come
just
on.
Niggas that weren't listening to her to start, and now is even worse. She's more famous for being an asshole than anything else. Although I would wonder how the industry works on that, because I bet you part of the reason it's easier to cancel artists because disposability of women already, even when you're not doing anything problematic.
Come on.
It, like, did we cancel Teyana Taylor or motherfuckers just don't respect her as a woman and an artist anyway, so they fucked up her album release?
Come on. Nah,
she never said nothing or did nothing to nobody, and motherfuckers couldn't wait to fuck up her album, not clear samples, don't communicate with her, put her shit out on some like whatever. It was still a dope album, but for all intents and purposes, sounds like A, it could have been doper, or B, is dope despite them trying to sabotage her because they don't respect her, and she's never said nothing to deserve any of that treatment. You know, I think niggas just don't like women, and they happen to be the ones who run the music industry.
Come on.
Anyway, Azealia Banks is, I don't think any of this shit applies to her. She just seems to be a kind of a mean person. She's one of those people I roll my eyes when I hear her name. Anonymous says, marginalized time units, MTUs, damn, I love y'all. Thanks, Anonymous. Oh, that was after Matthew. Okay, thank you, Matthew. Appreciate you. All right, and then the poll for the episode was, do you think men are basically useless in relationships until they're 33 or older? The options were, yes, I agree with J-Lo. No, I think they can be useful before that. Or, just 33, child is way older than that. 27% of y'all agree with J-Lo. Men are basically useless in relationships until they're 33 or older. 36% say, nah, I think they can be useful before that. I feel like a lot of people that don't date men voted that part right there. A lot of men who don't date men was like, I think I am useful and I'm 27 years old, so I'm gonna click yes. Anyway,
almost there.
Right. Just 33, child is way older than that, 38%. Kiana says, my aunts used to always say, don't no man want no trifling woman. Well, while I was scrubbing toilets and doing laundry, my brother's chore, emptying the trash. Patriarchy teaches us to raise useless men, don't it though? The bar is way lower for us. It just is what it is. Like, these niggas. And if you, like, it's funny because the only time people teach men these skills is to be like, awesome, so you won't need a woman, as opposed to like, this will make you an asset to any woman you come into contact with. You're able to cook. Instead, it's like, this way you won't have to, you won't need a woman. You need to be able to take care of yourself until you get a woman, then you can stop.
Right, and then the what's even more fucked up about that, a lot of these industries, it's almost reverse of the quote unquote traditional home, because
right,
men chefs are like some of the known more than women chefs, and there are some awesome women chefs out there, but men chefs are the ones that get the spotlights, ones that get the shows, ones that, you know, constantly pushed and promoted on your food networks and your cooking channels and your shows like that. But in the house is the woman. How does that fucking make sense?
Right. So, yeah, we just devalue women. Recognize Tate says,
like this, unless it's something you can make money off of. So now you, mm-hmm, the man cooking make the money.
That's
woman
what I'm
at
saying.
Home is,
we devalue women, but we won't devalue women's quote unquote women's work if a man's doing it,
right?
You know, it's like those videos, and not like I said, this is not hating on those people that do that shit, it's not your fault, you can't fix it yourself, but videos where they show like a black dude doing his daughter's hair, like if you put like a black woman doing her daughter's hair, something that happens like daily in many households, it's like, yeah, of course you did your daughter's hair, you should, nigga, you her parent. If you put a man doing his daughter's hair, it's like, oh my god, my pussy just shot water across the room, you know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm, everybody's like, black daddies, that's what I'm talking about, because it is, that bar is so different because of how we look at men. As we look at the minimum from men as above and beyond, and we look at above and beyond for women as the fucking minimum, like, well, you should be giving up your kidney, you know, like
he's like, the dude just exists, and oh my gosh, you just existing.
Right. Of course you work 7 jobs, bitch. That's what you better do. You gonna take care of your kids, right? And you need to be there when they get out of school, and you need to be there when you apply for a job. And you need,
I already work 7 jobs now.
Right. I don't give a damn. You need to be there. And the dude is like, I babysat my kid for 2 hours this weekend, took a picture, posted it on Twitter, # black daddies. People like, whoa, yes. Woo, now that's a man, okay?
Babysitting my
kids. Is he single? What is his situation? I would love for him to impregnate me and come through every 3 months for 2 hours. Mm. Future hive. Alright. Recognize Tay says, maybe he was eating on hay in the middle of the barn. Laugh my fucking ass off. You took me smooth out. I laughed for a good 5 minutes. That story was messed up though. Yikes. Love the show and not related. I'm excited to be diving into the book club with the first Niggulature reading. Love, Nita D. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then, I think we only had one email. We had no voicemails. I checked. We only had one email. But before we get to that, I want to shout out somebody who bought us stuff. Okay, we have an Amazon wish list, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you also, I think you can buy stuff that's not even on the wish list and send it to us.
You can,
because that's what the fuck happened.
Mm-hmm.
But we got some stuff on our wish list too. So first we got, and I don't know, two of these packages came with no notes, so I don't know if everything was from the same person.
I don't know, but you can opt to put a message or not.
Well, I think sometimes Amazon doesn't put the message in the box.
Okay.
It didn't even tell us who two of them was from. I'll read the note. It's from Simone, who says, for enjoying summer nights, listening to the lip smacking good theme song or the mood setting playlist of your choice, lol, much love always to my friends in my head, Simone. So Simone hooked us up. I love these fucking candles. Y'all know how much I stand for candles, okay? I go to Marshall's and go pumpkin spice and then buy candles and snacks and shit sometimes, which I have been doing. I have so many candles in my house right now, it's fucking crazy.
And we burn them like crazy.
But but what, when the maintenance dude came in here, look at the AC, what'd he say, Karen?
He said it smelled good. Yes, because we constantly burning candles. Literally, we burn candles and incense. And I didn't realize that it gets in our clothes and stuff, you know, because you have clothes that you wash and, you know, you put in the drawers. Well, every time we go out to eat, sometimes if people get close enough to us, they be like, you smell good.
Yeah, well, it's not just incense, but for me, I mean, there's other things, but my house stays smelling good because I'm always burning incense, candles, something. So I love these candles. These candles that come in these mason jars.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of the name of them. It's called
Is it at the top?
Our own candle company is the name of them. And yeah, they have different funny names. This one is nice melons. It smells like watermelon, cantaloupe, and honeydew melon.
Oh shit.
Not all of them have different names. This one is summer night. This one is lavender chamomile.
I put you to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Fancy. They smell so good. I love these candles, and they're pungent. When they sometimes you buy a candle in a fucking store and you start and it smells okay in the jar and you start burning it and it don't smell like nothing.
Mm-mm. Don't have it, like the odor isn't strong, like it don't go through your house.
So then there were two other gifts that didn't come with notes that I have no idea who got these. Maybe the same person, maybe Simone. But we got 8-piece Asian exfoliating bath washcloth, red and green.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, sound like some anime shit. I'm being there listening to fucking the theme song to Samurai Champloo,
scrubbing your face.
And a Yankee candle for my car that is Honey Crisp apple cider smell. And
come on through, Honey Crisp,
you petty motherfucker. I know why you sent this one. Now whoever sent this, I know this is a shot at Granny Smith, and you're not slick.
Thank you.
Now the thing is, I don't hate the other apples, so while you may have found the one thing in the world that's not Granny Smith flavored for a car smell, I'll still use it in my car because I love the way Honeycrisp smell as well, because I'm not a hater, which y'all would love to put me in that box. Wouldn't you love to put me in that box? Also, we got some shirts, right? Man, I went to go pick up my fucking HelloFresh, and the dude was like, man, you got a lot of packages. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna be carrying a lot of shit to the car. But Kennard sent us these, Karen has her shirts, he just reached out and was like, y'all trying to get some shirts? And I was like, sure, why not? You know, and I knew he was gonna be cool because he said the Granny Smith apple is the best and the rest can't even compare. And I said, now see, this is a true king that we appreciate. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's avery-j-clothing.myshopify.com is the link. And I love these shirts, like the designs. Mm-hmm.
We
got a couple. Karen got several shirts. They got good yoga designs. They have women's athletic wear.
Yes, I'm gonna be stretching it out.
Yeah, it's like Rise and Grind, Proud is one of them. like they got yoga shorts, like they got a bunch of stuff on here. So I know Karen's gonna be wearing hers, and I'm definitely gonna wear my shirt, and I love the Proud logo underneath it. It's some real like fashion shit, like it's not like in my nerd shirts, it's like some actual like, oh, you got an Avery J shirt, well congratulations, you know.
Right,
well thank you, man, we appreciate you.
So they were looking at you like, oh my god, what happened, all this shit,
at what,
when you went to go,
oh yeah, when
up.
I went to pick everything up, yeah, they was definitely looking at that. All right, now let's get to the email. We only had one this week, and it's from Kiara, who says, viral tweet. I know I'm 27, but I don't know how to use Twitter and find a tweet.
Yeah.
I only know how to favorite and retweet things. When you mentioned Karen going viral, I wasn't sure what you were talking about, but I popped up on but it popped up on my Facebook group I'm a part of. I gave you all a shout out so people find it and subscribe. Thank you for the shout out. And she did include her like shout out, like a screenshot of her being like, hey, that's why I listen to this podcast.
I don't know what's happening, dog, because somebody said I was on a Reddit page, somebody said I was on Facebook, somebody was like, you on Instagram. I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, how many do you have now?
Like about 40 something, 50 something thousand, somewhere around in there. That's a big number.
Wow. Yeah, that,
because I think every day, I think every day more people are finding it out. I can't explain how. Mm-hmm. But it's like it started spreading, and every day more people start finding it, and like I said, it actually resonated with a lot more people than I thought. It's a lot of people that actually see gentrification and see these things happening in their community and where they work and where they live, and it was even white people responding talking about, hey, you know, this is a problem, you know, I am out here, you know, fighting to stop these things, you know. So it was
by the way, I just had to say, Twitter is so funny because it doesn't matter how fun the tweet is, because you said it's kind of a joke, it will get serious.
I said it as a complete joke.
I also looked up your tweet, the wording of it, and motherfuckers have been basically quoting it or trying to put it as their own too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they have.
That is so funny. They try to steal your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm sure this happens with all the viral tweets.
This is new to me. Like I said, never had a tweet go like this viral. But yeah, but a lot of people were actually, it's a lot of quote tweets.
Yeah, well, not just quotes. I mean, people are quote taking you out of it and just using the words. The more random people you see jogging for no reason, the higher the rent is going up, and then they'd be like, who knows? I don't know who said this.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. I get what you're saying now. Just, and you know, and I'm not trying to be funny.
They want a viral tweet too because your shit went viral. Right. That's wild.
That and I know, and I've seen people say this before, people that have had viral tweets be like, hey, don't steal my shit. Like, you know, I'm like, whatever. But a lot of people is like, hey, don't take me out and take my words and steal my shit. And some people have actually been called out for that. Some people would come by like, no, this is not your tweet. This is the original tweet. This is some bullshit.
Yeah, I don't get into all that. Right. It's one of those things where if I obsessed about that, I probably lose my mind.
Right.
From people being like, they stole my idea.
But whatever. I didn't even know they were doing that. So people just actually just cropping me out and just reposting it.
Not a lot of people, but some people took the exact wording and was just like, I said it. It's like, no, you didn't.
You didn't even rephrase it or nothing, huh?
Right. Like they said, anyway, you think you got 116 replies. You got, it looks like 11,252 retweets.
Okay.
And 29,000 likes. That is so crazy. So yeah, this happened when I did that black men are the white people of black people and shit. Mm-hmm. And people was like tagging me like on Facebook like, Rod, you have to see this discussion that spawned. I'm like, I actually don't want to see the discussion. Y'all think I wanted to go viral. That's not what happened.
And honestly, for y'all,
I muted
y'all,
this.
That wasn't the purpose. I
it's
was just
stressing
joking.
Me out, you know. No, yours, if yours goes viral, I don't think there's, yours is not a stressful one, I don't think.
Mm-mm, it wasn't.
Yeah, I think, like, I'd be like, why can't my joke about, like, you know, how come, I don't know, like, just, why can't something I said that's funny?
be the thing that go viral. Like, why the fuck y'all gotta take when I say something offhanded, like, man, black dudes need to do better on this thing, and then that goes viral and motherfuckers wanna fight me, and I'm like, why are we, like, what?
Like, you the problem.
You just being divisive. You knew that if you said this, that people would, I'm like, I didn't know shit, and now nope. I don't, and what I really don't want is to fight about it. Like, y'all, I said what I said, we good. How come when I quoted that Beyonce lyric, that shit ain't go viral? Mm-hmm. You know? I made a joke this morning in every video where a cop goes rogue and starts abusing someone in their custody, there's always another cop or two sitting there acting like it's no big deal. I said, are these the good cops I hear so much about? Now, see, if that would have went viral without me, because I don't expect that to go viral, if that would have went viral and 20,000 tweets of niggas being like, you nigger fucker, you need to die,
come on,
that shit stresses me out. So, you know, I definitely can relate. But
yeah, I haven't had to mute it or anything like that, and it's just been it's been interesting just watching people talk about, like, they air, because there's been people literally from all over the country, some people from, like, all over the world, and say, yes, I've seen it happen here, it's happened here, it's happened here, this neighborhood has changed. You know, and some people jokingly go, I run, am I part of the problem, you know, just joking and things like that. It's been really interesting.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, that's it for this episode. I'm sure I'll be going to pick up my car soon. I did ask a question on Twitter today, which was
what's up
for those of you in happy relationships, how did you meet?
That's been interesting,
and a lot of people have been responding to that. Mm-hmm. And
it's neat how a lot of people met. Some of us are old, because I've been like, woo, some of them sites, woo.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, all right, I gotta get out of here, go pick up my car from this dude with a cigarette hanging out his mouth and a broke down Chevy sitting in his driveway, and cars that are just sitting on his lawn. Okay,
I would not allow us to do no business with a man like that. He don't take cash.
I have to pay him in cash, and I also have to pay him in a six pack of Miller High Life, because that's the only way. That's the only way he can take his payment.
He only take Newports.
I had to pay him under the table, because, you know, he's still trying to dodge a warrant that he got back in 1986, and
he only take do-rags.
I try to throw him a little something, you know, so I'm gonna bring him a pit bull and a six pack of I'm gonna go ahead and knock it up to a 24, to a case. I'm gonna give him a case.
Come on, we gotta take care of him.
Case of High Life and a pit bull, and because he like that, he need to guard his stuff out there. Come on. And he gonna go ahead and do the car for me for $3.
We need to be sure we find somebody having a fish fry on the side of the road. You know, we gotta hook him up.
Yeah, $25, he'll take care of you. So all right, let me know if y'all in the Charlotte area, y'all need, you know, to get some work done, okay? Because he does entire engine replacements,
entire,
but that's gonna cost you. Gonna have to give him a fake social security card and a passport. But
you pay for all your own parts now, right? He do the work.
You pay for your part. You go to Pep Boys, he'll tell you what to tell him at Pep Boys.
You go to AutoZone and pick your parts up.
You bring it down there, and then he'll go ahead and take care of you, okay? You won't know his real name. He just go by the city he from, okay?
So. Right. We don't exchange names.
Right. They call him Chicago Ray. Okay. Chicago Ray will take care of your car.
That's all you need to know.
Okay. $25, a carton of Newports.
Yeah. And if it's a big job, he got to get his brother. So that, you know, that's $50.
Yeah. Now see, when Chicago Ray go get Chicago Joe, that's double the price. That's $25. Yeah. Two cars of Newports, two cases of Miller High Life.
And
two pit bulls.
Yeah, and if they have to rig it, well, you know, some of the stuff, they got the machines to read it and shit like that. Now, if they got to put out a machine, it's extra $10.
They don't got the machine. No, they don't got, but they got something like it. They could Google up the symptoms.
Come on.
And hook it up,
And find it, and they can get around. You know, they be thinking they slick. They be putting the engine in all these funky-ass places. They'll get to it now.
The dealership, they got to hook it up to the machine, but Chicago Ray, he just look at it. He be like, now see right there, that ain't nothing but the brake fluid. And I'm like,
that ain't nothing but your carburetor.
Yeah. He like, we ain't gotta do no invasive test. That's definitely a fuse.
I've been working on cars back since 1972. I know how a car work, right. Boy.
Tell me how when you try to start it up, what it sound like.
Come on.
Do it sound like,
or does it sound like,
yeah, what it sound like? Okay, now see that right there, that's three cases of Newports. That's three cases.
Come on.
All right, we out, man. Y'all have a good one. talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace. Until next time.
Okay. Go ahead.
Until next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.